big.
It's 9 o'clock. I get to sit too. I'm going to keep this out because 9 o'clock and 10:45, whatever that service time is, means that I need to be ready for it, right? And it probably shouldn't go too long. Chase, keep me on track, okay? Yeah, thanks. All right, let's pray. And we are going to look at this narrative that we had shared with us through Matthew, and Mark and John also referred to it and had some different endings to it, but really interesting, both giving light to what Jesus did and what he can do for us. We're on a search for more. You want to search for more? I want more. I want lots more, right? I want lots more. I want to experience more in life. I want to discover more. I want to know that my life can be changed, that it can be made greater, better, that I can enjoy life even more. I want more. The problem is I tend to look in all the wrong places. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word that gives us a picture of Peter reaching up for more. And so I ask that as we come and look at your word this morning, that you would speak to us through your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that I would be able to speak in ways that you would have me to. And God, that we would be sensitive to hear your voice, because you're always active and always working. And open our eyes to see that this morning. So I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the passage, thanks Barb for reading it. The passage is very significant. It's a real amazing miracle that was astounding what Jesus did to show that there could be more, right? So much more. I mean, I think that's what it signaled. Wow, there's more. There's more to this. And so this happened in a setting where they just fed the 5,000, and a lot of us know that story. Of course, there was more than 5,000, but that's the number they counted. There's lots more, and again, more. And they had more than enough food, right? And the disciples got to eat, everybody got to eat. And at the end of it all, I think that everybody was pretty tired. And Jesus recognized that. The disciples recognized that. And so he wanted to take care of everybody. You got to imagine the disciples. They've just been through quite a time here of teaching, of listening, of wow, look at all these people that have gathered here. Jesus, the guy we gave our lives for, who we're following and gave everything up for. And now look what's happening. This is working. This is working out for me. I can see the more coming. I can see it, right? They see it. You ever get like that? I see the more coming. I do that sometimes with ministries that I'm running, and I see more people. I think, oh, there's more coming. There's more. This is exciting. But it's not always. Sometimes it's different than what our minds give us to see and what our physical eyes see. There's other things happening. But in this case, more definitely was happening. And Jesus was changing lives. And now he was taking care of some people. He said, disciples, why don't you hop in the boat, go for a nice casual ride across the lake, and I'll take care of these people, and then I'm going to take some time with Jesus, with my Father. And so Jesus did that. They dispersed. All was well. And then we pick up the story. It says in verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. They went on ahead of him, and they dismissed. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside, all the people, and by himself later to pray that night. And it says that he was there all night until dawn. So the picture is that he was, I think, anyhow, I don't know really what it was like, but I get this idea of Jesus. He kind of cleaned up things. He's God, so he had energy. He's human, so he's tired. And he's on the mountain. He's talking to his Father. And maybe it's peaceful, right? Maybe it's peaceful. And what are the disciples doing? Well, the more is starting to slip away from their minds now. And they're a little bit maybe traumatized because they're on the lake and they're fighting these waves. And they're kind of stalled on the lake. They're not really getting anywhere. But you know what? It's kind of okay because the disciples get that. A lot of them are fishermen. They're out there on the water. They're familiar with it. They have a good, healthy fear of the water, and yet they know how to navigate it, and they know where they are. And so here they are in the middle of the darkness, and they're paddling their boat, and they're taking care of things. I want, as we're looking through the story, to give you some things to hang on to. Let's take the word more, because I've said it so many times, and it is our theme, and let's just tag some words to it, so that by the end of this message, we can have something to hold on to. Because I would like us to take the rhythm that Jesus had here. I believe that we can take more and make it work for us this morning. So let's start with this. Let's see more as God's movement with M, okay? So M is God's movement in more. The next letter we're going to go with is O. Now, the O even though God moves, we don't always see it. So let's assume that the O can be observing or seeing God's movement, okay? So we have the movement of God that's always happening, but we don't always see it. But in this case, they were able to see it. So let's say that God lets us see his movement. So that'll be the O, we're observing it. So M, movement, O, observing. Then we have V, more, R, thank you. Man, A, B, C, D, E, F. Then we have R. Now, what we're going to do here is respond to his movement. So Peter responds to his movement. Stay with me, you're going to help me here, Todd. He's sharp this morning, 9 a.m., no problem. So we have the M, God moving. We have the O, we're observing, right? Observing and seeing. And we have the, not the V, but we have the R, and that's us responding, and Peter responded. And then E is going to be the encounter, the experience, and what happens from that. So I believe that on our journeys, we're going to all go through this. If the Holy Spirit allows us to, we'll see his movement. We will have an opportunity to observe it, right? We'll see his movement. We'll observe it. So I know they're the same things, but anyhow. And then we'll respond to it, and then we'll have an experience from that. It can be good or bad. So let's go through the story like that. So we have the story developing now, and the guys are in the lake, and they're paddling away, and Jesus comes out walking on the water. And to their surprise, they don't really know what it is. They're a little bit afraid, as Barb made so clearly. They're terrified. And they're looking out, and they're wondering what this is. But Jesus identifies himself, and here we go. It says, but Jesus said immediately to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. So we have the movement of Jesus. He realizes his disciples are on the water, and we have their ability now to observe that. They see it. And as they see it, they also hear it. And Jesus said, don't worry, take courage, I'm with you. Now, let's get another element here, because we're talking about water in this part of our series on more. And obviously, there's water involved here, and they're on the water. And in this case, the water represents something not necessarily comforting, not peaceful, not cleansing, not refreshing, not life-giving, but actually potentially dangerous. And something that they're afraid of, and yet that they're familiar with. So let's take that as a picture of something that, well, we know the things that aren't really, we can't handle, that aren't that good for us, and that we're challenged with. Maybe we get anxiety about and are overwhelmed with. We understand it, we see it in a certain way that we only can, and maybe it's not the right perspective, but we see it, and there's a healthy fear to it. And so we tend to stay in our boat, and we paddle. We're afraid to go out into that area, because we don't feel confident. We don't feel like there's any hope to do that. So we kind of protect ourselves and we stay away from it. And the disciples were kind of in this boat as well. And they're looking at the water and they see Jesus coming on the water. So how about this? How about as if in our lives, whatever it is, whether you're in a high school and a university or at your workplace or simply right here, and you're experiencing anxiety or whatever, you're experiencing something where you know you can't handle it. You can't go into that place and actually be there. What if you saw God walk in there in a place where you thought was so dangerous, and he was walking peacefully and said, don't be afraid. Don't worry. I'm with you. So could God let us see his movement? Could God, is even God moving towards us as we're struggling with things in our life? And then would he even allow us to see it? Could we observe it? Because he wants us to be able to observe it. And is it in the areas that we actually struggle with and that we have anxiety with and we don't know if we're going to be able to ever overcome it? And we all have those. Let's think about it for a moment. Sorry, I'm going to make you do this, but what are the areas that you struggle with? What's the deepest, darkest place that you don't want to go? Okay, let's not go that far, but what's some areas that you really struggle with that you don't want to go into? What's some areas that you wonder why God allows to happen? What are some areas in your life or that you see in our society you think, that's not right, and I can't handle it, I can't be there? And we know we all go through that, where we just can't engage, maybe even. Let's think about that. Is it possible that God is moving there? Yeah, very possible. And is it now possible that God can now open our eyes to see his movement there and to hear his voice say, don't worry, don't be afraid. Actually, you know what? I got this. I got this. And so Peter, in all his faith, responds by saying, Jesus, if that's you, call me out to walk on the water with you. Love that guy, right? Love that guy. So was that just, what was that? I mean, I read all sorts of different things into that, and I was starting to take the negative side of it, but then I was reading some things, and people were taking the positive side of it, and I thought, wow, that is a big step of faith. Because if Peter's looking at the water, which he respects, and he knows can be dangerous, and then he sees Jesus out there, it gives him hope, and from his hope and his observance of Jesus and seeing his action, he responds and says, oh, bring me out there too. I want to be out on the water too. And out he comes, and Jesus says, okay, come out. So Jesus wants to say to you, okay, come out. Even if you are naive in your approach as to why you're doing it, and you don't really know that you could do it, but you just have this child like, I can do that. I can do that because I see you're doing that and I see that you're with me. And Peter did that. And he said, just call me out, Jesus. I'm coming out. And I don't know if he's thinking about the guys watching or if he's thinking about the water, if he's thinking about, I don't know what he's thinking about. They've been paddling all night. Was he delirious? Maybe. But he certainly was excited. Something new had happened and he was ready to go for more and he wanted to do it. So he went out on the water. He walked and he looked at Jesus and he was just fine on the water. You ever done that where God's called you out to something? You're just fine. Wow, I can do this. I can talk to my friend about Jesus. Wow, it's not that scary. I can actually talk to my spouse about this situation. It's not that bad. I can talk to my child about this. I can talk to my enemy about this. I can go and talk, whatever. On and on it goes, right? I can do this. I can go into a situation because God is with me. But what happened? We know what happened to Peter. He lost sight of God. And he saw the waves around. He saw the danger that he knows, he respects, and he went down. And we do the same thing. Last week, if you were with us, we talked about Peter and the Last Supper and how he was so excited about, again, doing a lot, getting more, and getting his whole body washed, not just his feet. Jesus offered to wash his feet. Jesus became a great servant to everybody. And Jesus said to him, you don't need your body washed because you're already washed, Peter. In other words, you're already a Christian. You're already in relationship with me. All you need is your feet washed because you got a few issues. And so let me wash your feet. Let me just do that. It's a daily thing. It's an hourly thing. It's just every moment for me. But it's something that they do all the time because we need to draw closer to Jesus. And so he washes our feet. And in this case, Peter, he was in relationship with Jesus. He loved him. But right now he's slipping into the water. He just needs his feet washed again. That's all he needed. He was fine. He was in relationship with Jesus. Jesus had him. And so as Peter goes down, he remembered that. And he just called out to Jesus immediately. Jesus puts his hand out and pulls him up again, washes his feet, and he can go on the water again. And of course, he takes him in the boat. And from there, there's a variety of solutions to that. I think Mark says that immediately the waves stop. Have you had that happen before? Where you thought life was so incredibly rocky, and it wasn't? You were blinded. Do you know that we live in a world where we don't see clearly? And that Satan speaks lies to us? And we have no idea what really he's doing and how he's taking care of the people we're worried about or the things we're worried about. And when he opens our eyes to it, there's peace. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. In the midst of the waves or in the boat when the waves are calm. Both ways, it happens. And I think it's John. John says that the boat was on shore. Even on shore. They're on land. So they just walk on the land because Jesus took care of them again. We have a God who wants to walk with us, who wants to take care of us. And you are going to be able to, if you allow God to, Jesus is always moving. He's moving in our lives, in all your situations. Ask God to open your eyes to observe it, right? Ask him to open your eyes to observe it. Respond to it. Respond to it, because once you see God moving, you'll respond. And then experience it. Go through the encounter and experience Jesus. And don't be afraid because you will dip down a little. Then you'll come up and you'll dip down and you'll come up and you'll dip down. But all along, Jesus is with us and he will get in your boat. The waves will calm and you'll be at the shore. I am not saying that life becomes perfect because I don't live in this perfect world either. I have a lot of anxieties and stresses and a lot of things that are I haven't done well dealing with. So I know that it's not easy. Let me share you something. Share something with you, because it's significant. On Friday evening, we had our free fall night. And if I can encourage you, if you have opportunity to come out to it, please do, because it's just a time that you can sort of set aside for you just to worship. It's just worship night, and you'll get a chance to pray with people, and you get a chance to maybe share with people, and have some coffee. So come on out and do that. But when I was there, we went through an examine prayer. Marcello took us through an examine prayer, and it was about the dealing with the things deep in our heart that we struggle with. You guys have anything like that that kind of creeps up every now and then? It becomes almost embarrassing and painful. I say embarrassing for me because I expect myself to be a perfect pastor, in perfect relationship with Jesus, and always holy and loving. And so when it comes up, I'm shocked. No, I'm not at all. I'm expecting it. But here's the thing. I had something that was related to insecurity. And I always pegged it as different things. I'm not that good academically, and I make a lot of mistakes. I forget things. I spill water a lot. All these kind of things. I do this kind of stuff, and I'm just not very good. Ultimately, I came to that. I don't feel very good about myself. Now, Jesus would help me with that. I'd see his movement. He'd be moving. I'd see it. I would respond to it, and then I would experience him, and he would set me free. But there's still these moments where it would come up. And so here's the way it came up. I'll give you a real practical illustration. It's right, really fresh, right from my heart, and it hurt me. And you'll just laugh at it because you think, how could that hurt you? But here it is. I struggle with many things, but because I struggle with confidence in myself and how I feel about myself, there are certain things that'll pick it off. One of them lately has been, any of you out there have trouble speeding? Come on, join me here. Come on. I want more speed. No, don't tell the police that. Okay, so I had trouble with speeding. But in my mind, I didn't have trouble with speeding. What I had trouble with was bad luck. I'd always be speeding at the wrong time. I never speed. Right? As a matter of fact, I'm so slow, people pass me on the road. So here's the story. I had trouble with speeding, and I got a lot of tickets. And I came close to actually losing my license. And you know, it's also expensive when you get tickets, right? Not only for the actual ticket, but they hit you later when you go to renew your insurance. It's embarrassing, too. And my wife reminds me every time, and it's painful. And so I said to God, I can do this. I can get this right. I'm not going to speed anymore. I'll drive so slow. And I did. And people would pass me all over the place, right? I irritate people because I'm driving slow. And so I did that. But I would still get in trouble. I'm serious. I was still getting trouble. And so just recently, this last Sunday, while we were doing our big thing for all these people, I came back. I went out. And I remember sort of, I don't know if you've been on Emily Carr. There's a park on Emily Carr, sort of in between the speeding zones. People fly down there. And so they're really trying to slow people down. And it's my neighborhood, right? It's right where I live. And they put out, yeah, I know it very well. They put out signs and everything like that. And they have policemen there often. And so Sunday morning, I'm in a hurry with my trailer, kind of trying to get ready for this big event, the picnic that's, what is it, inside, outside? Anyway, so I got here, and I as I was coming, I did sort of in the side of my eyes see something. I knew something was there, and I wasn't sure what it was. So just a couple days ago, I came home, and there's an envelope from the police department, and I opened it up, and fortunately it wasn't a ticket, but it's just one of those warnings, right? So it says, we saw you, and this is the license plate number. Okay, so here's me. Oh yeah, it wasn't me. So I open it up, I lay it on the island, and I text Nick, and I said, watch your speeding, and I took a picture of it and sent it to him. And he said, like this, an emoji, wasn't me. I'm like, oh, it wasn't him? Ooh, that got me thinking. I think, oh, maybe it was me. And I started thinking about the day, and nah, it couldn't be me. So I left it on the island. It must have been Patty. And so Patty comes home, and she looks at it, and she says, Rob, I figured it out. It's you. And I just lit into her. Guys, I lit into her. And you know, I've done this before, where I've been insecure. I've been attacked. I feel like I'm attacked. When someone says something to me, and I jump at them. But I never really noticed how rude it was, but because of this experience of God's movement, me starting to observe it, and then me responding to it, and then having an experience with Jesus where he starts to correct me and give me who I, my dignity back, and that is that I'm created in his image. And yeah, I make mistakes, but he loves me no matter what. Because I've been through that, this time when I did it, I realized, wow, that was really mean. Why did I do that? And I left her just spinning, right, sitting there like almost in tears. We had a moment where we talked about it, and I thought, oh, I did a good job with that. And then Friday night, God made it really clear, no, you didn't. And now you go to Patty and you tell her exactly what was going on and how I'm working in your life and how I'm changing you. Give her hope. Let her see my movement so that she can observe it. And then she also can what? Respond. And she can experience an encounter. See, God wants to work through all of our experiences, just like Peter. Don't you think the other disciples saw all that? And together they worked it through. We need to do that together. This story is for all of us. And it's spectacular, right? It really is. But let's just relate it to everyday life, because that's where we're struggling. That's where we're hurting. And let's let God journey with us. Let him give us more. More. So that we see his movement. Right? We can just observe it and even hear it. Hear his voice. God, give me your voice. Because I do want to change. And I've been trying to control it. That's what I was trying to do, trying to control it and mitigate everything and make it seem good and just cover it up. But that wasn't the way. The way was for me to be humble and surrender and actually put myself on the line. And I found myself walking on the water because I knew Jesus could. And I could walk with him. And so I wasn't sinking then. And yeah, I will again. I will. And I might do it to you. I might snap at you sometimes. Sorry. And hopefully God will speak to me again, and I'll work through it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your movement. Thank you for allowing us to see your movement. Thank you for being willing to accept our response, as limited as it is sometimes. And then for graciously letting us experience and encounter you. I pray for transformation for each of us here this morning. That you would take us in these quiet moments, these simple moments that we experience with our family and with our friends. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.